Well, thank you. It's a little bit like what they do at the in an aeroplane. They tell you where you. Yes. Those moments are for snoozing in. When you hear that noise, drop off to sleep, and then when it stops, I'll wake you up, and you can come back to me. When you get in an aeroplane, they'll say, this flight is going to wherever, and that gives you a chance to get off if you're on the wrong flight. Well, I'm glad that some of you are on the right flight, and we're going to talk about him. Last night, Michael challenged us, didn't he? How many were here last night? Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about. He challenged us about the God who is always sending people out. He was thinking of the world out there with all its needs and the complexities of it. But we could say that equally, God is the God who always says, come. And in fact, this movement, coming and going, being brought in, nourished, nurtured in spiritual things, discipled, learning to understand what a Christian is, enjoying the fellowship with other Christians, having the privilege of worshiping our great God. That's also a very important part of the whole. And when you do that well, you're in a better position to go out. Would that not make sense to you? If you just keep going out, which is not what Michael was saying last night, but his emphasis was on being sent out. If you just kept going out, you'd dry up. And I would think that a lot of people who are here at Unlimited this year are here because they want to come closer to God. They want to be nourished. They want to be strengthened in their faith. They want to be better people for going out. So when all this is over, we go back to our routines, back to our homes, back to our core, back to our workday life, and we'll be better people for having come away from it. We can do our job a little bit better by coming away. Well, I was fascinated by the title of the weekend. I don't know, Miriam, who devised him as the title. Well, it's a wonderful title. It stirred me. In fact, when we were invited to come, because I never go anywhere without Nancy, who sort of keeps me in line all the time. And of course, she insists on it anyhow. When we were invited, what made it very easy to say yes was that title. How could you say no to a weekend that was going to focus on Jesus, on him? What I found interesting, though, that that pamphlet that you've all seen, which just has him in big letters like that on it, doesn't say a word about who him is. That's not good English, but who is him? Well, it's because we're Christians, we know exactly who we mean. You couldn't do that, for instance, this was a political conference. There are too many hims and hers in politics. We'd never know which one was really meant. And you couldn't do it if it was a conference for football players, because they're all out to express their big egos. You'd never know which one it is that is meant by him. You couldn't rename the Oscars him, because there's too much competition there. But here we are at this conference, and our theme is just one three-letter word, him, and we know exactly who we mean. And who is it? It's Jesus, yes. No one doubts it at all. And I think that that's really quite amazing. It's because Jesus is totally and completely unique and outstanding. And to one or extent or another, we're all of us trying to live like him. If I'm not being at all irreverent here, but being little Christs in our world. We want to replicate Jesus so that the world sees him, not just reads about him, but sees him in our lives. Here we are, almost 2,000 years, or perhaps fully 2,000 years, after Jesus lived on earth in the flesh. Here we are, spending a weekend that is aimed at helping us to get to know him better and to represent him better, and we're calling it Him and Everybody Knows Who We Mean. And it's not just happened like that because our fathers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers heard the gospel and they shared it. I mean, there are some of us here who are many generations into the Christian faith, but there are probably some who've become new Christians. This is the first that they know of in their family, this generation. You've set the way and you're following him. How many of you are new Christians? Yes. Well, that's very interesting. I thought there'd be more than that. But there are a lot of people here who can say, well, my parents were Christians and my grandparents and so on. Well, we're not here just because of them. But when they shared the faith with us, something else happened. Well, this Jesus, him, that we're talking about, gripped us. And everybody in this group today is a gripped person. Jesus has taken hold of us. I don't know what chance he's got of keeping us, because we're very wayward, very rebellious by nature. But all of us have been gripped by this wonderful person, Jesus Christ, who is both human and divine. And we are now following him. And this is not only our plan to follow Jesus, but it's God's plan to do something. I mean, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're helping God to achieve a plan that is far beyond anything that we can imagine, far bigger than us. However stupendous it was for us to become a Christian, here is something that is much, much, much greater. It involves every generation of humankind. So something else has happened, and it's a secret plan, but Paul the Apostle says God has shared this plan with us. He's told us what he's got in mind, where he's heading, and the best thing that we can do is to get on board with that plan. I want you to read from the Bible what the plan is. Wonderful to have a secret made known to us. Here it is from the Living Bible, Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. Would you like to read that with me, please? God. So here's the secret. It's now out, and it's only out because God has shared it. And what he's saying is that his plan, which we can be part of, which we can help achieve, although it's much bigger than we are, we can just do our little bit. Every time someone becomes a disciple of Jesus, they're pushing this plan forward a little bit. But the plan is to put Jesus at the center of human history and human experience. We live in a world that is really distorted and mucked up, and we all get worried about what's happening in our world. But it's a world that's not really adrift, because God has got things in control, and he's working towards the day when the same Jesus who was lifted up on a cross to suffer for us will be lifted up as King and Lord of all. And the Christian really wants to try and help that happen. But it's a very big task for us, and we need a lot of help from God in order to represent Jesus in the world. This weekend, therefore, which is going to continue to focus on Jesus, on him, is an explosive one. And I did ask whether they might blow the screen up for this moment to impress you, but they couldn't quite do it. But they did have something that blew up there without damaging anybody. There are people, I imagine, at this conference who are on the brink of giving up, who, if they are not helped in some way while we're here, may well find that the next 12 months sees them moving away, not closer to, not coming, but going away from God. That's human experience. I imagine that every time there's a conference, there'll be some gaps from the previous year. People who have moved on, made other choices, made other decisions. But I'm thinking that this weekend has explosive power to hold us. We may get through the next year better because we're focused on him while we've been here. It may even be that there's someone here who is using this weekend as a last desperate attempt, if you like, to make things work for them. Because it's very hard for people who are involved in the ordinary natural world in which we live to understand the supernatural. What goes on in our world all the time is it's a material world with all the grossness and the abuses that can happen in a material world, and yet God keeps intruding the supernatural. So if you think about it, when you pray, it's not natural, it's supernatural. Something is happening. Paul says in the Roman letter that in fact we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit comes. That's supernatural. And with groanings which are beyond explanation, the Holy Spirit prays for us so that our prayers reach God. Now that's a supernatural action. So if you stop praying, your world becomes more materialistic and you become less supernatural. But that's only one example of this. I don't think it's exactly a conflict, but it becomes a bit of a conflict for people who are wandering off away from God. Because what we're being asked to do is to live our lives on a supernatural level, aware of God, aware of the Spirit in us, and not be caught up totally in just what we can see and touch, the material things of God. I imagine also that there are people at this conference who are not being very helpful to God at the moment, and they may receive something while they're here, because the Holy Spirit is always working to persuade us to give ourselves fully to God all the time. I love the story of someone who writes about what he does first thing in the morning when he gets out of bed, when he wakes up. He says, I get up and I sit on the side of my bed and I say to God, I'm giving myself to you today. And sometimes if I'm not too sleepy still, I will say, I give you my feet. I give you my legs, I give you my hands, I give you my head. I'm trying to give everything that I have to you, God, today, for this day. Now, this conference will have served its purpose if there are people who go home and renew their dedication daily like that. They become the important people.